was not their first fire. It was my second fire and their third fire in Hoboken. I was in the one in Madison Street, the one that happened during the day. It happened right before Easter. But until I saw for myself these news clippings and stuff, that's when I knew. And I never knew about the gentrification until 8 years. Okay. It was around 3 a.m. And I was sleeping. My baby was sleeping. And all of a sudden, I sat up on my bed and looked out the window and looked at the clock. And then I looked at the door. And the fire was coming in through the door. And my daughter's crib was right next to it. So I got up. I screamed to my husband, there's fire. We were the last ones out. And when I went to pass the door, I couldn't get to the fire escape because my whole door was already consumed in fire. My husband at the time, deceased now, he turned controlled the one that was coming in through the door so he could get me and the baby across. I got to the fire escape, climbed out the window. As soon as I climbed out, the door for the fire escape that the rest of the people had to use just swung open with the force of the flame. As I'm going down the stairs, I hear a woman in Spanish screaming, help me, I'm burning, in Spanish. At that moment, I thought it was my mother. I ran back up. While my husband's trying to get into their apartment, I ran down. When I went to run back up, somebody pulled me and took the baby out of my arms. They pulled me by my hair, they took the baby, and then they forced me down. And as soon as I finished the last step on that fire escape, my brother's little friend, girlfriend, lands at my feet, all crooked, all arms and limbs all over the place because they lived on the fourth floor after that. I see my husband jump out the window because my apartment exploded. At this time, there's no firemen. There was no firemen. And we go towards the window of my mom's apartment, and all you can see is black smoke. We couldn't get to them. There was nothing. I believe that when my mom died, she woke me up. I truly believe that. Or else we weren't going to make it out either. After I see the little girl land on my feet and see my husband jump out and he meets me downstairs, as I'm looking up from that same apartment, I see the lady that was related to the girl that had just jumped. And she was in the window with two kids. She threw one and they broke the fall. When she went to jump with the baby in her arms, the baby got scared and pushed away and landed on the flame. He was burnt instantly. When she fell, she didn't fall the right way and she died. Then I hear that somebody in the front is screaming and they're in the little dress slip. And that's how my mom used to sleep, was in a slip and undies. So I run to the front of the building. And I see this lady screaming with the fire right behind her. And she's going to jump because she has no other option. And her leg gets caught on the window. At this point, I still don't see no firemen. And there was a fire really close to us. And after that, that's when I finally saw firemen, and I ran to, before the lady. I ran and told them, okay, we'll go up. You don't have to go up. We'll go up through the window. And they said, no, the building's collapsing. So I go back, and I find out about this lady out the window. And she over here gets caught on that window. When the firemen decide to bring up that stairs, she comes undone, and she ends up on the floor after becoming a human torch. Then she became, I don't know what she became when she fell, she just blew open. And at this point, I'm still thinking maybe there's some sort of hope. And we were holding on just to hear hope. And the firemen put it out. I know it was gasoline from the bottom all the way to the top. But the firemen couldn't get in there until they think the building was, you know, that they could go in. And I stood outside until I saw the four bodies taken out and one body bag after the fire. I got a small studio in Journal Square, and I didn't know I was pregnant for 7 months because I was only 80 something pounds. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. I would get up screaming every night that the building was on fire, and until they checked the whole thing, I wouldn't relax. And then it turns out I had a urge to eat something, and I went and ate it. I got food poisoning, ended up in the hospital, and found out I was pregnant for 7 months.
Oh my God.
And I had no stomach. I had nothing. I was 80 something pounds.
Oh my God.
With a baby that was 7 months inside of me. And the doctors told me we definitely have to do a medical abortion. There's no way this child is going to have any sort of life. And I looked at him and I said, 7 months? And he said, yes. And is it alive? Yes. Then I'm not doing an abortion. I'll take my chances. And I did. And she's 38 now.
Oh my God.
She's 38 and has three of her own kids. We moved around a lot because not only did we lose everything in the fire, he lost his job at the same. A couple of weeks after, he lost his job. And that's when things really started going downhill. I am diagnosed with PTSD. Major depression with recurrence. Anxiety and panic attacks. I do control them very well. I am on medication. But after that fire, my aunt, my dad, they forgot we existed. We were left alone, not only by Hoboken, but also because of the family. People that survived, I was only 17. I never got any help. Nobody ever told me that was what happened. Because after that, I lost my husband. He couldn't deal. He became a drug addict. Then I lost my sister to the same thing because they couldn't deal with what had happened. We lost our mom. We lost my brother. We lost our nephew, which was my sister's son. Even the dog was burned. And my stepdad. I was the last one out of that Pinter's Hotel fire. My husband and I were the last ones out. And things had to be done. We had to collect money. We didn't have any money to bury them. And there was four. So we went, we had to throw ourselves in the street to get money to bury them. And we didn't live in Hoboken anymore. We lived towards Jersey City and towards that way. And we never found out anything. They never told us anything. What? Oh, that's the other thing. I've been looking for their grave for years. I couldn't find her grave because it was so dramatic at the time that everything happened. That I remember it was in Bayamón. And we went to one and they couldn't find it. She wasn't there. And we went looking for it. We couldn't find it. It's not marked. There's an open space. That's where she's buried, but there's nothing there. There's no marker. We know it's there because 84 is ahead of it, and 87 is 86 is the next one. So we know it's that one. But is there anything there? No, it's right next to the road that they use to come in and out of the cemetery. But I have been looking. I've always wanted for somebody to talk about this. My sister died without no closure. I just lost her a year and a half ago. But she went nuts when she lost her son and her mom.
I want you to know what in my head would be, what would honor my family. My sister that died, that'll be 2 years that my sister passed away. And she was waiting for this memorial. When the first one was canceled, she was still with us. So she never got that closure. She knew some of the story, but not all of it. She was lost. She got lost immediately after the fire. It was didn't take very long for her to lose her way. And when she was finally getting help and, you know, being okay, she got very ill and was having ill for quite a while. But she would always mention that she wanted to be there, that she needed that. She needed that closure.
Now I'm on a mission. I need to do something to this, to my mom's grave. And I still got to find the other two.
I want to do something, and like I said, I've never... We're a working family. We don't have nothing extra on the side for me to say, I'm going to go and do this. Spend money and spend my time and get this done before I cannot get it done. Mm-hmm. Because after I'm gone, there's nobody else to write this story. There is nobody that's going to be able to really say what happened before, during, and after these fires. And I know I'm not the only one out there. I know I cannot be the only one out there that can remember so much. Because I would love to speak to them. This has been a lonely process, a very lonely process for many years.